Yeah, all right.
For the whole metric. For the whole metric?
Or same five. Yeah.
We will in just a second here. You open your Bibles up to Psalm in chapter 46 tonight, the 46th Psalm in the book of Psalms. I appreciate that, brother, that report and that what you did here. Boy, that's what a need there is out there in California, you know. And we had a friend a few years ago that was planning on going to the Los Angeles area, and it just didn't pan out for him. And so they took a church in Michigan now and doing a great job where he's at. I think the Lord just moved him to something else, you know, but he had a burden and a half for out in California. And I think one day we'll see him go out there, amen. He's a young man, wife, a bunch of children, and just something just did not work for him at this time, you know. But God is good, amen. It's good to be in. Are you glad you're in the house of God tonight?
Praise the Lord.
But that was half-hearted. Are you glad you're in the house of God tonight?
Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. I know you're not glad that I'm the one that's preaching, but I'm glad that you're here tonight. Amen. Good evening, Lonnie. I heard see you walk to church tonight. Yeah, amen. Psalm chapter 46, and if you'll stand with me just for a moment as we read. I'm only going to read the first three verses. Psalm chapter 46. He makes this statement, Psalm chapter 46, beginning of verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Well, I'm glad for that verse, amen. I really am. He therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd use it this evening again to minister to us. Father, thank you for what you've done this week already. We pray, Father, knowing that you'll work in our hearts again tonight if we just listen to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments tonight as we look at this verse again. We think, you said, therefore, will not we fear. We won't fear. We don't need to fear, amen. But the message tonight is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? And immediately as soon as you make that statement, people think you're going to talk nothing but about salvation. But can I make a statement to you that you can be born again believers, still go through some troubled waters and difficulties and not rely on God, but rely on your own strength, rely on what you think you ought to be doing, rather than relying on what God would have you to do as a child of God. The Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 through 3, and as we begin here, I want to speak. Why is it well with your soul? Well, what makes it well with your soul? What would make that happen? What would bring that about? Well, he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. He gives that peace that passeth all understanding. The Bible says, Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, and a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Now, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace? Amen. Do you believe that he give you peace in your life? Do you believe that he will help you and move you and strengthen you? Sometimes, I don't know how it is, some believers sometimes, I've been all across the country, been around the world, been all over the place. Been doing this, we'll be 35 years in October, brother. And the Lord's kept me busy. When did you get married in September? I got to know.
2000.
What day?
What day? 22nd.
Oh, I got September 6th, man. I thought maybe somebody get pet, but I got 40, coming up 49 years, amen. And I don't know why she put up with me so long, brother. You don't know either, do you? Amen. But he's the Prince of Peace, and he will give you what you need to get through life. I've had people all the time that make statements to me. They said, look at all the tornadoes. Look at all the earthquakes. Look at all that's happening. And they're literally born-again believers that seem like they're afraid of this stuff, and I don't understand it. Why would we be afraid? I get excited. I get excited when I see this. I get excited when I see. I do, preacher. I might be morbid. I don't know, but when I see what's going on in our government, I get excited because it's not long before Jesus comes. Amen. And I'm willing to trust Christ. I'm willing to bet on Him. I'm betting on Jesus. I'm trusting Him. Amen. We just need to trust Him all the way 100%. Because why? He says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Amen. You can get some peace out of the world. You can, can't you? You can get some peace in the flesh, but not the right kind of peace. So he says here, My peace I give the world gives, but I give unto you, that not your heart be troubled, neither let it be, even the next word, afraid. Neither let it be afraid. There's things I don't fear, things I'm not worried about. I remember a few years ago, Pastor, I was in Florida preaching meetings, and I got sick. I flew up to Indiana. It seems like every time I fly on a plane, I get sick. I flew up to Indiana to do a funeral for a preacher friend of mine when he passed away, and got back down to Florida. Man, I got sick. I got sick. On Friday morning, I went up, drove over to the hospital, went into the hospital, and they threw me in the hospital bed. So you're in heart failure again, you know. And then on top of that, you've got pneumonia. And my wife thought it was done. She thought it was done. And I said, she, you know, if she was Catholic, she'd have been doing this over me. But I thought it was done. And I'm just laying in bed and thinking, okay, Lord, I'm ready. I witnessed every nurse that came in there, every doctor that came in the room, because if I'm going out, I want to go out the right way. Amen? Go out the right way. But I was at peace. It didn't bother me, you know. I remember my daughter, I started to feel a little bit better towards the end of the week. My youngest daughter called me and from West Virginia. They're in the ministry. And she called me from West Virginia, Danelle, and her family, you know, the 7 kids. She called me from, they were traveling from somewhere where they'd done meetings and coming back from, I can't remember, across Ohio, I guess. And she says, I answered the phone, I saw her number come, so I answered my phone. She said, Dad, I said, yeah. She said, Dad, are you all right? What? She said, Dad, are you all right? And I said, yeah, I'm just messing with you. She got mad at me, amen. She get mad at me. She hung up, you know, praise the Lord. But she's also the one that called me when I was getting ready to have open heart surgery. She said, Dad, don't die, because I don't have the money or the time to come up there with you, amen. What's up with that, amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Lord, I got to get on with this, because I mess myself. I get sidetracked so easy, amen. I told him the other day, I don't chase rabbits anymore, but man, them bunnies sure are cute, amen. Ephesians chapter 2, and look with me if you went down to verse 14. Brother, you were over there a little bit ago, and he says in verse 14, he says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Look at verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off again, and to them which were that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Peace. He said, I've come to give you peace. Amen. And I don't know about you, but when I got saved, Pastor, and I'm sure you did, you were saved, what, about 6 years old or something like that, I think. I didn't get saved until I was 22, you know. And some of you got, how many of you were under a teenager when you got saved? Anybody, how many of you were under the age of teens when you got saved? How many of you were over being a teen when you got saved? How old were you, Lonnie? You remember?
No.
Yeah, what? Yeah. Dale, you remember?
70.
70? Man, praise the Lord. And look at that, he's only 69 now, amen. Praise the Lord. Dave, how old?
I was 30 years old.
30 years old.
21.
21. Good night, look at that. Yeah, that was a long time ago for you. Chris? What? 22? Amen. Yeah. Let's say 22. I want to tell you, Jackie?
It's
45. 45. Well, you're not much older than that now, are you? 45. You know, when I got saved, I had the peace of God. I mean, it something happened. Amen. And there was I know we're independent, fundamental. I'm a red, white, and blue neck Baptist, amen, by the way. I know we're independent, fundamental Baptists, and we don't go by feelings. But I want to tell you what, man, it felt good, amen. It felt good when I got saved. And I know I'm saved. I told you, I know I'm saved because of what the Word of God says. Well, I change, man. Things change in my life. And God is so good to me. And I have the peace of God. Now, there have been times in my Christian life I've got the peace of God, but I wasn't at peace with God because of the things I was, the way I was acting, or things I was doing, or sometimes in being here, ever get angry? Sometimes because of anger. Anger was a big issue of my life before I got saved, man. I'd fight at the drop of a pin, Pastor, you know, and just go to the town where I grew up and ask everybody. But, you know, man, God saved me. He makes a difference in your life as a child of God. And He gave me that peace that passeth all understanding. It is the Prince of Peace, but His peace is perfect. He says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, that's the second thought, His peace is perfect. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, watch, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou shalt give him or keep him in perfect peace. His peace is not just that you get at salvation, and not that you just get when you need it, but He said He will keep you in perfect peace. Watch again, here's the key to that verse, whose mind stayed upon thee. Where's your mind at? What are you thinking about all the time? When you're going through a turmoil, where's your mind landing? Is it going back to the teachings of the Word of God that you've heard over and over and over and over again? Is it going back to some difficulty in your life where you after you were saved, that you know you put your faith and trust in Christ, and now that you're saved, you went through difficulty and you got that peace because God's made you a promise? He says if your mind is stayed upon Him, that means, I'm going to tell you what, that's more than just coming to church. That's more than just being in the Bible. That's also being in prayer, amen. That's coming to a place in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ where you're looking for God for everything to cover every avenue, everything that will ever happen to you in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. What's your mind stayed on? John chapter 16, verse 33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Amen. You ever been through any tribulation since you've been saved? Amen. So I had a friend of mine a while back. He said, Mike, you need to write a book about your salvation testimony. Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time doing that, preacher. I really do, you know. He said, but then you ought to write a book, too, about all the breakdowns you've had on the road when you're digging all your tools out of the back here, because I was a part-time backyard mechanic, so I carried about $2,000 worth of tools with me, and I had jacks underneath the trailer, and I had a friend come out and do some welding for me along the road one day, and I broke shackles, broke springs and trailers. What a mess it was, amen. I mean, every time I turn around, something was breaking down. Last time I had a major breakdown is in New York on the thruway, and you cannot call your own wrecker there. They sent out two of the biggest wreckers I've ever seen in my life, one to haul off my semi, and then one to haul off my 40-foot trailer, and it cost me $700 by the time I was done to go 9 miles. Can you imagine that? $700. Man, pay me like that, amen. I'm getting across your turnpike. Quit charging me if you're going to charge me that kind of money to haul me off, amen. That's what I'm thinking. He said, I've spoken to these. I've given you peace. He said, watch this. In the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to go through some things, but be of good cheer. I have, what? Overcome the world. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. He's not just the Prince of Peace, but His peace is perfect. It's perfect for you, and it's perfect for me. And then also His peace. The third thought, His peace is this, it passeth all understanding. All understanding. He says this in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's all, hey, listen, my friend. He makes a promise to you in Scripture. Can I make this to you? God never goes back on His word.
Yeah.
Amen. He don't go back on His word. God doesn't lie. In fact, the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. And so if He tells you and I, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, what do you think that means? It means his peace will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what he does. That's what he does for you, and that's what he does for me. And we need to quit worrying about all these little other essential things that are going on around us that we focus in on and focus in on and focus in on. We need to come back and focus in on Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to come back and focus in on his word. We need to come back and get in his word and study his word and read his word and let his word become a part of our life as the children of God. That he would be honored and that he would be glorified, because it's nothing about you or me. It's all about him. All about him. We need to start living Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the song, Living for Jesus. Well, that's a good song, but I think we just need to live Jesus. Amen. Let's live Jesus. I don't know if you remember back in the 70s. This is when I got saved, 74. But back in the 70s, there was a movement coming out of the late 60s and the 70s and spread up into the 80s. I don't hear much about it anymore. It was called the Jesus Movement. But everything was about Jesus, and no Holy Spirit, no God the Father, no Holy Spirit. It was just all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, and I'm not saying some people are getting saved because they've preached about Jesus, but that's all the emphasis was, you know. And we ought to have an emphasis on Jesus in our lives, amen. But don't forget the Holy Spirit that will help you and give you that peace that you need when he comes and works in your heart as a child of God. His peace passes all understanding. The world will never understand you or how you can go through adversity. They will never understand how you can go through adversity and difficulties and hardships and still worship God. The world doesn't understand that. By the way, I know there's some in this town right now think we're crazy because we're meeting here on Thursday night preacher. Amen. Amen. Well, they think you're crazy anyway, but I'm just saying, you know. Well, Psalm chapter 29, verse 11 says this: the Lord will give strength unto his people. Let me ask you a question before I read the rest of that verse. Are you a child of God? Amen. He will give strength to his people. He's not just talking about Israel. You back at, I know there's a lot of promises in the scripture that are for Israel alone and don't apply to us, preacher. But there's a lot of scripture that applies Old and New Testament that applies to you and me also. And this is one of them where he says this again: the Lord will give strength unto his people. If you're a child of God, he said he will give you strength. The Lord will bless his people with, what do you think the next word is? Peace. He'll bless you with peace. I don't know about you, but I sort of like that, amen. I like having the peace of God in my life. You say, Brother Mike, 40, you've been saved 49 years. I guess say January 15th, 1974. I've been saved 49 years this past January. I've been married, it'll be 49 years in September. Knew my wife about 9 months, amen, before we got married. And I still don't know why she married me. Somebody asked her one time, why'd you marry him? She says, I wasn't thinking, amen. You'd have to know, I've stayed in prison. And so that was the whole story behind all that. And she had a friend, don't marry him, don't marry him, don't marry him. Now our friend says, well, I'm glad you didn't listen to me, amen. But he said he gave you peace that blesses people with peace. Now, either God's a liar or he's telling you the truth. What do you think? How is it with your soul? How is it with you as a child of God? You say, I'm born again, saved by the very grace of God. If you're not, you need to be saved, because you're not going to have any true peace until you get saved. Amen. And then his peace needs a proper place. Don't you think his peace needs a proper place? Go with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. I don't turn to a lot of scripture when I'm preaching because I'm there and gone before somebody else can get there usually, you know. But go to Colossians chapter 3. Look down with me, if you will, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then he goes on to make this statement. He says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the, what's the next word? Let the what? Peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Boy, thanking God. And He wants to give you peace. But you notice in this text we were just reading, there's certain things He expects out of you. His peace needs a proper place in your life as a child of God. But I tell you, I've struggled. I think we all struggle with some things sometimes, you know. But I struggled with a lot of things when I was first saved. I mean, a lot of things, brother, just went. You know, the drugs went, they were gone, they were out of the, you know, that wicked, ungodly lifestyle was gone. God saved me by His grace. But then the more I was in the Word, I realized I shouldn't be smoking as a Christian. Guess what I did? I quit smoking, amen. And then I was told that, Brother Lonnie, you like this one. I walked into the church, I still had long hair down my back, you know, and had a goatee and a mustache. I'm not against goatees and mustaches, amen. Or beards, brother. I can't grow hair, you can tell that, amen. And so I'm not against any of that stuff, but I walked into a little church with my wife and I, and it was a church she grew up in, and we were just going back that day because we were in a Bible church was going area, and so we decided to go back to her church. And walk in the door, a little old farmer lady, about yay tall, with one of the beehive haircuts about that tall. She's about as tall as me by the time, you know, she got up. She looks at me like this, she said, "You need a haircut." I said, I wanted to say, "You need to mind your own stinking business." Amen. I didn't say that. Amen. I didn't say that. But she never said why. Never said why. And so you learn things when you read the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, Corinthians, I read, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Amen. You say, what's that mean? I don't know, but my hair was long, so I cut it. Amen. And this is what happened. Cut my hair and lost it all. Not far there, brother, are you? Not far, just, you know. I lost mine in the back first, amen. The rest of it just sort of followed. Well, His peace needs a proper place. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 through 19 says this. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace, and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. My wife says, she's always reminding me, you know, because I got a couple preachers' friends that they're hard. I mean, they are just, I've seen them hard on people. I've seen them say things to people that just ought not to be said. You know, outside the church, and my wife says I don't want to be around that, you know, and so she does. She goes to very few meetings with me now that we got a house. We just bought a house a year ago, and so you know, at that age now, she needs to settle down. But I'm still going. I need to settle down, but I can't do it. I just can't do it. So she said, you know, the problem is you're just a friend with everybody. That's what I think. That's what I'm supposed to be. Amen. She says, "Yeah, but sometimes he just gets mean." I said, "Yeah, but when I talk to him, I get mean to him. I tell him exactly what I'm thinking and where he's wrong." And he tells me later on. He says, "You're the only preacher friend I got that will tell me what I'm wrong." And I said, "Hallelujah! What else do you want me to tell you?" Amen. But I want to make peace. Amen. And we ought to want to make peace. We ought to want to live in peace. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand if you've got a problem with a neighbor or somebody at work, but we have to do our part to make peace. Amen? We have to do our part. You say they will never accept it. Well, you don't know. You don't know. Amen? You don't know. I got a cousin down in North Carolina. She's a Jehovah's Witness. She married a Jehovah's Witness. No, she didn't grow up Jehovah's Witness, but she married one. And so it amazes me every once in a while when my mom died, she sent me a card and she put a watchtower track in there, you know. So she cracks me up. And I call her and talk to her on the phone, you know, and she knows where I stand. She knows I'm an independent, fundamental Baptist preacher. She knows exactly what I preach. But it amazed me when her dad died, when he was dying, and her mother was dying later on, that she was the one who asked me to go and visit with her mom and dad and talk to them. It's amazing to me that she didn't call the preacher from the Jehovah's Witness Church. Amen. But I've been at peace with her. No matter what, I don't get, she sends me a tract like that. I don't call her on the phone and say, why in the world would you do something so wicked, send me something so ungodly? I call her on the phone and say, well, Nancy, good to talk to you. How are you doing today, you know? And I'll talk to her. I want to be at peace with her. And because of that, I had the opportunity to witness to my uncle. He did not get saved. And my aunt, I could not get there. She passed away before I was able to get there. I think I was out of the country when she was sick. But, you know, I got cousins. I want peace with my family. Amen. And so I try to keep at peace with them, try to keep things together. Why? For the purpose that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because His peace comes by salvation. That's the next thought. His peace comes by salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace only because of Jesus Christ. You're at peace with God. There's no more enmity between you and God. Amen. Hey, the battle is won. He won the battle on the cross of Calvary. And you came underneath His cross. And you came underneath His command. You came underneath Him when you got saved by the very grace of God. Hey, we ought to start living like He is in charge. Amen. That's what gives us the peace that passeth all understanding. You can only get this kind of peace by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and by trusting Him alone. It's not by someone else. Not by Harry Krishner, not by Sung. Remember Sung Young, remember Moon, the Reverend. He's in California. I don't know if you remember him or not. Reverend Moon's out there. He's gone now. He claimed to be Jesus Christ. Remember that preacher? He claimed to be Jesus Christ, and he's gone. He's no longer there now. You know. And by the way, he's not in heaven either. Amen. We know where he ended up. Eternal damnation. I mean, salvation is only in Christ and in Christ alone. Not Buddha, not anybody else. He is the only one that can save you from your sin. What's Ephesians 2:8-9 say? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is what? It's the gift of God, what? Not of works, what? What? Lest any man, what? Should boast. You can't work your way into heaven. It's all by Jesus Christ and by Him 100% alone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're not under condemnation. Well, I love the verses, preacher. Amen. And I got all, I almost got 36 down, verse 36. And I don't have Romans, that one in Romans 5 yet, but I'm going to get it. You challenged me this week, you know. I had the rest of them. I've known them for years, but, you know, you put something out there, and I thought, that's a challenge to me. I need to do that. Amen. And then I'll come back and lead you to the Lord, Pastor, just saying. I'll try to help you there, you know. But he says in Matthew 16, verse 26, for what is a man profited if he gained a whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Guess what? Nothing. You can't give anything in exchange for your soul because Jesus Christ gave it all upon the cross of Calvary that you might have forgiveness of sin and that you might enter into the heavenly gates with Him one day. Acts 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby what? Whereby we must. We must be saved. We must be saved. Not might be saved. Not could be saved. Not even shall be saved, but must be saved. We have to must be saved. Amen. If you're not saved, that's the only way you're going to ever have peace. Is becoming to Jesus Christ. And putting your faith and trust in Him. Asking Him to forgive you for your sin. Believing what He's done for you upon the cross of Calvary. That you do not come underneath condemnation. Amen. Get forgiveness for what you've done. That you won't be under condemnation, but that you'll have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You had the preachers last night stand up and give their testimony, Pastor, and boy, I appreciated that. What a hear Brother Clarence again, you know, and old biker, you know, and got saved by the grace of God. Then here the brother was down here from up north up here, you know, to share his testimony about what God did in his life. And he was an ex-Marine. He was a biker too at one time, Pastor, you know. I didn't know that, you know. He don't look like it today. I mean, he's about as round as I am. In fact, he's more round than I am. You know, I don't know if a bike could hold us, amen. But anyway, you know, what a great testimony. And then to have his name just skipped my mind. I know him.
Drake.
Brother Drake last night shared his testimony. I've never heard his testimony before. What a blessing that was, you know, to hear what God had done in his life. And we all have a testimony, amen, if you've been saved. And part of that testimony is you can have the peace of God, and you do have the peace of God in your life. Live so that people will see what God's doing in your life, that they might have a desire to have what you have. Amen. That's what it's all about, going out to wherever in California out there, you know. That's where they have surfboards. Where's your surfboards? I didn't see any surfboards in the picture, brother. Amen. Just kidding. I'm just messing with you. I'm just simply saying that's what it's all about. Living Jesus Christ. I'm glad you got three young men here. Praise the Lord that they have chosen to go with you. You got a wife that chosen to stay with you. I don't know why, but she chose to stay with you. Praise the Lord. You know, and you're going to minister together the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he would be magnified. And you can only go with the peace of God. It's the only way you can go. You can't go if you ain't got that peace. Don't even try it, because it never worked. Amen. The sever heads bowed and our eyes closed. Two questions tonight. You know the first question I'm going to ask. I ask the question every night. I don't care if there's only two people here and I know they're both saved. I would never feel uncomfortable if I did not ask this question. Have you been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been saved by His grace? Is there anybody here tonight, maybe with an upraised hand, would say, Mike, I'm not sure. I don't push this because the Lord's got to work in your heart. But I'm not sure. If anybody here tonight says, I'm just not sure, I'm really born again, could I pray for you? Anybody like that tonight? I don't see any hands. Second question is this. Mike, would you pray for me? Because there's some places in my life where I recognize that I'm lacking some peace with God. God bless you. Amen. Others, how about, would you just pray for me like that tonight? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. I'm just lacking some peace with God. Would you pray for me tonight? Anybody else? Anybody else? Before I go, God bless you, brother. Before I go to the Lord in prayer. Anyone else? Here's what I'd like you to do. If you just raise your hand. Now, one look on heads bowed, eyes closed. Why don't you step out and come to the altar and let me pray with you tonight. How about, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. How about you just come and let me pray with you for a little bit. How about it? Come on right now. If you raise your hand, you need to come. Come on. God bless you. God bless you, folks. Amen. God bless you. Come on. You raise your hand. Don't be afraid to slip out and come to the altar in the house of God. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you tonight for your precious word. I thank you for our precious Savior. I thank you, Father, for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, just not at meetings, but on a daily business as you meet with us and we meet with you. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and the wonderful fellowship we can have with you, Father. I pray right now for these, your children tonight, that have slipped out and come forward, God. I pray that you would help them. And God, help them in those areas might be having some difficulties, Lord, with a peace that they recognize they need maybe deeper or more, Father. They need some help from you, and I pray, Father, give them the help that they need, Lord. Help them to continue to trust in thee, Father, and just to lift you up in praise from their lips, that you be honored and glorified now. Dear Lord, thank you so much for our salvation. Thank you, Father, for shedding your blood upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. Thank you, Father, for removing the condemnation from us. God, you're so good. You're so good, Lord. We don't deserve any of your goodness, but Lord, we sure thank you for it. God bless these folks, Father. Now help them, please, in Jesus' precious name. Has bowed and eyes closed yet? Amen. We'll let these go back to their seat when they're done.
496. Praise the Lord. All to Jesus. I surrender. Appreciate the message. Appreciate the messages tonight. So, let's go ahead and pray together this tremendous song of surrender. 496. We'll close our service with this. Let's stand and sing, I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. Thank you for what we've seen and heard here tonight. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your tug on each heart. Pray again, Father, that you touch now your words as we go to the night. I pray again, Father, that you just bless. Be in our thoughts. Father, each prayer, each decision that was made tonight, and each surrender, Father, that you'd again just take them and change our heart and our will and our walk. Even because of your words tonight. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Lord bless you for being here tonight. Just a little bit with our missionaries here to California. You might want to ask what language they speak in California or something.